happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed. Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
And we're live.
Thank you, Rachel. Hello, and welcome to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe. Today's topic is why people resist the work of a healthy lifestyle. So that's one of my biggest challenges as a holistic, integrative medical doctor is helping people realize why they're doing the work that they're doing, right? So people tend to come to me a little bit out of desperation most of the time, rather than coming to me just because they want to be healthy. So really their motivation is, I don't want to feel this lousy anymore. It's not necessarily, I want to feel good all the time. And so we have to move them from this feeling of desperation and I feel so horrible, I'll do anything to feel better, to realizing that, hey, you know what? I am worth feeling this good all the time. And that's a challenge, believe it or not. You would think that when people feel better, they'd want to stay that way, right? And they would then shift their motivation to, well, I just want to feel this way all the time. But that's not quite what we see, right? So today we're going to tackle that topic and talk about why people resist the work, right? You're going to work one way or the other, right? Being sick is work. You have to actually work when you're sick. And so being healthy is also work. It's a different kind of work. The results are different and the benefits are different. So that's what we're going to tackle today. We're live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. I put the phone number down. I can never remember it. So let me grab it. It is area code 646-558-8656. Go ahead and hit *9. I would love to hear your comments. What makes it hard for you to stick with the work, right? What causes you to fall off the bandwagon? And also what causes you to get back on the bandwagon, right? I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear any questions that you have. I always enjoy them and I'm always happy to help in any way I can. You know, what is the work, right? When we say the work, what do we mean? We mean, you know, waking up every morning with the first thought on your mind being, what can I do today to do something amazing for myself, to feel really good about myself and to feel really good in my body, right? What can I do today? And usually that involves a series of things, right? It involves what I call the four pillars. And we're talking mostly about the body, the physical body today. And of course, we understand that you can't separate the physical body from the mind and the spirit. But we're talking about, what does your body need to be healthy? What does your body need to not get sick, right? And there are four pillars. The first is food. What are you putting in your body to fuel it, right? The second is, how much rest are you getting? And with rest, we're talking about sleep. We're talking about perhaps even naps during the day or just sitting in stillness, whether it's meditation or breathing exercises. We pretty much lump that all under rest. And then movement, right? How much exercise do we get? How much activity do we engage in? So that's movement. And then detoxification or cleansing is the fourth pillar. How capable is my body of cleaning itself out, of ridding itself of toxins? And those are the four pillars that are critical for your body to be healthy. And of course, the body has to be healthy for the mind to be healthy, for the spirit to, how would I want to put this? For the spirit to come into the body, right? The spirit's a very ethereal thing, right? It doesn't have a physical basis. But in order to experience a physical life, it has to come down into the body and occupy the body, if you will. Can't do that if the body is not healthy. And so that's what we're talking about today, just the body. So one of the things that happens is people wait, unfortunately, until they're sick to seek medical care. Part of the reason for that is because we don't have a healthcare system that is designed to keep you healthy. In fact, the last 200 years under the guidance of allopathic or mainstream medicine, disease has become the norm. 65% to 70% of Americans have at least one disease. By the time you're 50, definitely by the time you're 65, the average American has two or more diseases. The American life expectancy has been declining before COVID. Again, we don't want to blame everything on COVID, but even before COVID, we started to see a decline in our life expectancy for the first time in 200 years. And also what we're seeing now is our younger populations are not expected to live as long as we do. So Generation Z, which is our youngest population, has been predicted, sadly, that it will not outlive its own parents. That's the first time in 200 years that we will see that. And unfortunately, we actually are seeing it. We are seeing a drop in life expectancy already. And so these are, abysmal statistics, right? So when people wait until they're sick to go to the doctor, it's partly because they understand that the doctor isn't there to keep them healthy, right? And that's a sad conclusion that most people come to. And then what happens is they try and figure it out on their own, right? Which makes sense. Unfortunately, we don't have the information that we need to figure it out on our own. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of bad information. There's a lot of confusing information, right? Part of that is because of the way we study things. Our medical studies are flawed at best. Our medical studies are not really done well. And so there was a study that came out about medical studies several years ago that showed that the vast majority of medical studies are overturned within 3 years of having been published. And what that tells us is we're not studying things very well, right? If 1 minute eggs are good, then they're bad, then they're good. Something's wrong with the way you're studying eggs, right? Nature didn't suddenly change the way it makes eggs. So for all those reasons, we have to go back to the very, very basics, right? We have to go back to what we do know. What do we know? We do know how the human body functions to a significant degree. We know what we need to feed it. We know how much it needs to move. We know how much it needs to rest. And we know how it cleanses itself out. And so if we just go back to these four pillars, these four basics, we can start to really reverse the trend, right? The issue too is that we have come to rely on the medical establishment to tell us what to do. So if we're not in a doctor's office, we don't really consider like, what am I doing today that is going to keep me healthy? We just kind of fumble through the day oftentimes and hope for the best, right? And so we have to start to change our thinking. We have to start to feel more empowered to keep ourselves healthy, right? That's what I had to do eventually. right? I've been blessed to have very good health pretty much my entire life. And I've always believed that nature had a fix for everything. I always believed, and it was just an inherent belief that I had, that if nature breaks something, it knows how to fix it. And so I was always a little bit on this path. And so it helped me to study other fields of medicine when I realized that the mainstream medicine that I studied for 13 years was not going to help my clients stay healthy, nor was it going to help me stay healthy. I think we have some questions that came in. So let's take a quick look here. Question, why do I fail to keep my resolve strong? I'm good. Where is it? I'm good until the weekend. I'm out with the girls. And well, I just can say I'm completely off the healthy wagon until Monday morning. That's a great question. And that is so true. We're all guilty of that one, right? What can you do? You know, you can engage your girlfriends, right? You can engage them in what you're trying to accomplish, right? So you can kind of have a group, a support group, if you will, so that when you do go out, you're still being supportive of each other. And what I do when I go out is I'll just have some sparkling water with lime, you know, and I'll just sip on that all night. And then, you know, what do you eat? You can eat some salads, you know, but if you're really good all week and you have one really horrible meal, it's not gonna, you know, spin you off. So getting that mindset where, okay, I'm gonna do my thing from Monday to Friday. I'm going out with the girls on Saturday. So Saturday for breakfast, I'm going to have something that's pretty lean, fairly low calorie, something similar at lunchtime. And then I'll go hog wild, you know, Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, I will get back, you know, back into the swing of things. So for me, it's being prepared, mentally prepared, and physically prepared. Where am I going? What am I going to eat when I get there? Who am I going with? And then just letting them know, hey, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. And what you find is, what's funny is people make the assumption that everybody else wants to drink and eat bad food. So they kind of go along with that. And then once you bring up the idea of, hey, I really want to keep myself healthy. I don't want to drink. I don't want to eat a lot of junk food, they're almost relieved. They're like, oh, thank God. Because every time I go out, I think I have to eat a bunch of crap to fit in with my friends, right? And so once you put it out there, some people, I won't say everyone, some people are actually relieved. They're like, oh, good, because I didn't really want to eat a bunch of junk either. It makes me feel bad. I feel horrible after I have alcohol. It's just the peer pressure of going out with friends. They feel like, okay, I've got to do this thing to fit in with my friends. So once you take that pressure off of them, sometimes they'll be happy about that. And so you can have a whole evening of eating fairly well, right? So if you have some chicken wings while you're out, you know, it's not going to completely derail you. You know, I try and stay away from the alcohol. That derails you for several days. Chicken, not so much, right? Fried chicken, not so much. So telling your friends, that would be number one. Figuring out where you're going and then determining what you're going to eat and drink when you get there. I know that takes all the spontaneity out, but feeling better should feel better than being spontaneous, if that makes sense. So sometimes we end up picking between lessers of evils. And so neither choice is really that great, right? So I like to take it a step further and say, I don't want to choose between lessers of evils. I want to choose between what makes me feel good and leave the rest behind, right? And so knowing what makes me feel good would have to be that one thing. You know, like I know we all feel good when we're eating comfort food, but what I mean by that is what makes me feel good. Like when I wake up the next morning, you know, I don't have a bunch of inflammation. I don't feel hungover. You know, that's what makes me feel good is waking up feeling good, not in the moment feeling good. So I hope that helps you. It's a great question. How do I stop the nighttime cravings? I eat junk food I know is bad. I've even gone to the store for a pie. Help. Most people have cravings because they don't eat enough during the day. And I know with intermittent fasting, you know, people are really shifting how they eat. I am not a big fan of intermittent fasting. I think in the long run, we'll start to realize it doesn't suit everyone. So if someone is very depleted, they are not great candidates for intermittent fasting. When I mean depleted, what I mean is if you have a lot of nutrition deficiencies or if you're not absorbing well, you're not going to be a candidate for fasting. So willpower tends to go down as the day goes by, right? So we wake up and we've got all this will, and, you know, because we have a little more energy in the morning, you know, so we're going to eat right. And then we tend to restrict our calories during the day, or we're too busy, we're working, we didn't get to eat, we missed meals. And then now we're relaxing or we're done with our work and we're sitting. And then suddenly that tsunami of cravings starts to come. And what I've learned as a physician and as a person is you can't outwill a craving. It's your body's survival mechanism. It's your body telling you it needs energy, food to make energy. So what I tell people is two things. One, eat more. So make sure you don't miss breakfast. Make sure you have lunch. Make sure you have reasonable snacks in between. And it could be, you know, it could be celery and hummus as a snack with maybe a little protein shake. But have a good meal for breakfast, a good meal for lunch, snacks in between. And then when nighttime rolls around, you won't be as hungry. The other thing, women in particular, I don't know who's asking the question, what gender you are, but women in particular tend to undereat protein. And I know protein is very controversial, and I say it all the time. I love protein. I think protein is very anti-aging. I think protein keeps people healthy. Why? Because your whole body is made of protein. And so everything from your hair follicles to your hormones to the cells in your body are made of protein. And so if we don't eat enough protein for them to be replaced, our bodies break down. The other thing about protein is it keeps blood sugar levels more stable. And so if you're having cravings, sometimes it's simply that you're not eating enough protein with your meals. So you want to have a good, you know, 4 ounces of some type of protein or a protein shake. You know, a nutritionist would be, you know, a nutrition consult could tell you exactly how many grams and things like that to have with each meal. Decent ballpark is at least 20, 30 grams of protein per meal for most people. And again, clean protein, right? We've done really horrible things to our protein sources, from abusing them to processing them to the point where we can't even call them food anymore. So, you know, pasture-raised, organic, cage-free, humanely raised, these are all better options for protein sources. So hope that helps you. That's a great question. We have a question from YouTube. The traveling wise woman. Perfect. This is really small writing. Let me see. I'm so glad I found your videos. Thank you. I was diagnosed with systemic scleroderma in 2011. A doctor told me I have 3 to 5 years to live. Well, obviously that didn't happen. Thank goodness for that. I'm better, yet still struggling with autoimmune issues. I've stopped seeing doctors because I felt like a guinea pig and they weren't listening to me. So now I've become my own doctor to find the cure. Thank you for your education and support. Thank you. And I'm very grateful that you found, you know, a way that works for you. Certainly very grateful that you're here. The autoimmune issues, I've got a couple of podcasts on autoimmune issues. Again, you know, people fall off the bandwagon or never get on the bandwagon because, again, unfortunately and sadly, our mainstream medical system is not equipped to help us stay healthy. And so when I trained as an OBGYN, we trained to treat the sickest of the sick. That's who we saw on a daily basis. So we saw people with appendicitis, that if they didn't have emergency surgery would die. We saw people having heart attacks. We saw people having all kinds of obstetrical emergencies where they would die if there was not an intervention. And so as a physician, when you're training under those circumstances, you're just running on adrenaline and you're studying really hard to treat these conditions so that you know how to treat them with your eyes closed, hands tied behind your back, and under any circumstances. And then when you go into the real world, suddenly you're hit with this daunting reality that you don't know how to treat, how to help people stay healthy. Because we saw them when they were at death's door, right? We didn't see them for years before that time period, and we didn't learn how to teach them, to guide them to stay healthy. And staying healthy is an active process. It is truly work. It's not something that just kind of happens, staying healthy is a verb, it's not a passive thing. And so we have to know, what is it that sustains my health, right? What is it that keeps me healthy? And it's basically the four pillars, right? It's how much rest do I get? Most people need at least 7 to 9 hours of sleep. So this applies for autoimmune conditions. It applies for anything. 7 to 9 hours of sleep is critical. And if you're tired, if you wake up unrested, or if you get too tired too soon in the day, if like 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're really tired, you need 9 hours of sleep on a consistent basis. And what most people don't know as well, and I had to learn this, is you have to be in bed by 10 and asleep by 11. And why? It's because of how the body functions, right? So between 10 and 2 o'clock in the morning, 10 p.m. and 2 o'clock in the morning, we're making melatonin and our body is going into a restorative mode. And so if we don't get to bed by that time frame and give the body enough time to make the melatonin that it needs to make, melatonin puts us to sleep. And it's triggered by absence of light. So it's triggered by darkness. So for many reasons, artificial light, TV screens, computer screens, phone screens, we are constantly exposed to blue light, artificial light. And so that makes us think that we should be up longer. And then most people end up going to bed too late. And they miss that window. That golden hour is between 10 and 11. So you've got to be winding down kind of like in bed at 10 and asleep by 11. And then your body can actually restore itself. And that is the purpose of sleep. I was reading an article on millennials last night that they think sleep is a waste of, or a third of them, I shouldn't say they, a third of them believe that sleep is a waste of time and that if they could just not sleep, they could be more productive, right? And the article was all about how, that's not actually true, that it's not a waste of time and that you actually need that sleep because your body has to restore itself. And so one of the reasons people say they can't do these things, do the work, work on these four pillars is because they don't have time, right? The truth is, if you don't work on those four pillars, you lose time. So even something as little as losing 1 hour of sleep costs the average employer of two people 7 days a year. Just 1 hour of lost sleep for those employees costs 7 days of work per year. And so that's a lot when you compound that. So if you have 100 employees working for you, that's, 7 times 100. And so sleep is critical. Sleep is critical for productivity. Sleep is critical for restoration. So if you have an autoimmune condition, sleep's critical. You have to allow the body to restore itself. What is it used to restore itself is food, right? And oxygen. And so you have to eat the right foods, like we were talking about a little while ago. And then as it's restoring itself, the other thing that your body does between 1 o'clock in the morning, and about 5 in the morning is it detoxes itself. It mobilizes toxins to get rid of them. So detoxification occurs when we sleep. So again, if you don't get in by that golden hour, right? So your body is prepared to go into the sleep cycles that it needs to go into for the restoration, the detoxification, all in the repair and all the things that happen at night. And if you don't stay in bed long enough for that to happen, you wake up tired, you wake up not ready, you wake up unproductive, and your digestion suffers, your detoxification suffers, your ability to repair yourself suffers. And people don't always feel that, right? Because we have this ability to run on adrenaline, which is dangerous. And so if we're not really in touch with our bodies, and if we don't realize that we're running on adrenaline, we will get sick. And so it's really important to feel the very subtle clues of fatigue, right? And we tend to normalize our symptoms. We tend to normalize the abnormal because everybody else feels that way. It must be normal. And what I teach my clients is common does not mean normal, right? Common just means we're in trouble as a society, but it doesn't mean that everything is normal. So we tend to confuse common with normal, which is not productive, right? Normal is I'm not sick, I'm not tired, I feel great, and I can do whatever I want. That's normal, but that's not common. And so we tend to normalize these symptoms. Part of the reason we normalize them is our fault as doctors, right? Patients come to us, we run tests, we don't find anything wrong. So we say everything is normal, but that's not true, right? If everything were normal, that patient would not have symptoms. And that's what I learned through the study of Chinese medicine is symptoms are not normal. No matter what test you thought you ran, no matter what diagnosis you excluded, we don't have every test for everything. We don't have the ability to diagnose everything. So for us to say the absence of a disease means we're normal is flawed. And so I hope that helps. The other thing with autoimmune conditions is to work on the gastrointestinal system. That would be the biggest bang for your buck, is looking at the gut and really getting that environment to be as solid as possible, because any autoimmune condition has to do with the gastrointestinal system, because 80% of your immune system cells are actually housed in the gastrointestinal system. And because there's so many toxins in the environment, pesticides on foods and such, the gastrointestinal system gets damaged very easily. And so making sure that we are correcting anything that might be abnormal in that system would help in autoimmune disease. So thank you for that comment. I'm so happy that you have been able to do the work. So congratulations on that.
We have to go to break, Doctor.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I can ramble on forever. Thank you, Rachel. So you're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. This is Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milena Ryobe, and we'll be right back after this break. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern when you can call in and ask Dr. Milin the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milin is the medical director of the Rio Bay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book, have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Dog Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back. And you notice we got a couple more YouTube questions.
I do. I was just about to go to this. Thank you. Perfect. Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milin Ryobe, and we are live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. So we did have a couple other questions come in. Do people become overwhelmed with the work of staying healthy because they haven't done their research or maybe don't understand the information they're reading? There's so much information out there. And the thing is that everyone has their unique needs, right? Everyone is different. Everyone requires different supplements. Everyone has something different going on. And so Chinese medicine taught me that the most is fatigue has like 10 different potential causes. So when someone walks in tired, you have to know their specific causes of fatigue in order to reverse it. Again, there are basic things that everyone can do. You know, the four pillars are huge to build a foundation. And oftentimes, I used to worry because we'd have some new patients come in. I would evaluate them. I would give them their pattern diagnosis according to Chinese medicine. I'd give them food recommendations, lifestyle recommendations, and then we'd give them a very detailed report of what to do at home. And then they would never come back. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? And when we started reaching out to them, they were like, no, I feel great. You know, so it was really the basics. And they said, like, I didn't feel like I needed to come back because what you told me worked. And what I started to realize is if you give people the very basics, what to eat, how to eat, and also the temperature of food matters, right? So if someone feels cold, they shouldn't eat raw food because that makes them colder. Or if your body temperature is too low, that's telling you that you need to warm your body temperature up with cooked food, you know? And so it's not that raw food is bad for you or that it's unhealthy. It just doesn't suit that individual. And so it's not that people aren't doing their research. It's that we're not taught how to understand our own bodies and how to read the language of our own bodies or hear the language of our own bodies. And things as simple as taking your temperature first thing in the morning, right? If your temperature is always low, 96, 97, when you go to the doctor, it's always 97 or 99, right? If it's not 98.6 or really close to that, something's wrong, right? Something is not right with your metabolism. You're not keeping your temperature regulated. And so nutrition is a great way to fix that, right? And so simple things like that is what we help our clients with that empowers them to understand, oh yeah, my body temperature is too low. My metabolism, that means my metabolism is too low. So if your body temperature is too low, it could be because you have a thyroid condition, an adrenal condition, or other hormone imbalances, or that you're eating foods that are too cold, or that you're in an environment that's too cold. So maybe you work in an environment where, you know, the temperature's cranked down to like 72, 69, 68, and your core temperature is literally dropping. So for that person needs to know, I need to eat really warm food all the time. I need to have soups all the time. I may need to spice up my food with things that are a little bit spicy, so I raise my temperature. So people really do their best to do that research. They're always reading and they're always trying to figure things out. But if you don't know what it means for you, it's hard for you to interpret that data. So that does make it hard. So that's why having someone like a doctor of Oriental medicine, someone who is versed in traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurveda, is really helpful because they'll give you those mechanisms to empower yourself to know how to move forward. So that's a great question. Thank you for that one. And there was one more. What are Dr. Milan's thoughts around collagen peptides to build protein and heal? I'm sorry, that was block. Heal intestines. So collagen is the most bountiful form of protein in the body. But much of other things that you eat will be converted to collagen. So you don't necessarily have to have collagen specifically, but the ability to make collagen can go down as we age. Part of the reason I believe that happens is because people eat less protein as they age. So I think if you eat enough protein, you will be able to then have enough collagen. So even when you drink collagen, it's still going to get broken down into amino acids because that's just how your body functions. It's going to break down everything you eat into its basic building blocks so that it can get through the gastrointestinal system. Things like glutamine, glycine, minerals are also really important for GI health. So clean animal-based proteins and plant-based proteins can be broken down into collagen and then utilized all through the body. But there is some, because it's the most bountiful form of protein, you know, collagen is found all throughout the intestines and everywhere else in the body. Collagen peptides certainly cannot cause harm as long as it's a clean product, right? I always help my patients to learn how to read labels. And sometimes it's not the ingredients that are on the main label. It's the fine print at the bottom where it says other ingredients that you have to be mindful of. So you don't want a lot of big words you can't pronounce under the other ingredients section of any supplement, whether it's a peptide protein or a vitamin and mineral protein. You always want to read the other ingredients at the bottom and make sure it doesn't have a ton of extra stuff that's not natural. So great question. Thank you for that one. Coffee, tell me it's good for me. Honestly, I read conflicting reports, but I believe it's medicine. I'm with you. I love coffee. I have my espresso machine at the ready every morning. Yes, you will read various opinions about coffee because, it depends on who's drinking it, right? Same thing. If you don't know if that suits you, then you could do yourself harm with coffee, or you could do yourself good with coffee, right? So the thing about coffee is that it scatters your energy. So it's a cathartic, right? It's an energy mobilizer, in other words. So when we drink coffee, we have to go to the bathroom, we move our bowels, you know, we wake up. So your energy goes outward when you drink coffee. So if you are depleted, if you have a lot of vitamin deficiencies, you don't have a lot of energy to go outward. So what coffee does, if you're depleted, is it actually depletes you more. Kind of like the energy drinks and things like that, that they give you that jolt in the moment, but then you pay for it later because it consumes the reserve energy of the body because it's a mobilizer, if that makes sense. There are studies that will say it's not good for you. And then there are studies that will say it's good for you. So coffee is very anti-inflammatory. And it has, I believe I'm saying this right, ORAC score that is higher than green tea, I'm happy to report. And so it's a very powerful antioxidant, but it's a mobilizer. So if you don't have a lot of energy to scatter, then coffee will not be the best thing for you. The other thing about coffee is it's highly acidic. So if you are acidic, then coffee is not your best friend, right? So what I tell people is balance it with green tea. So green tea is very alkaline, coffee is very acidic. So if you have your coffee in the morning and maybe some green tea later, kind of balance them out. And you can tell you're acidic by looking at your tongue. If it looks red, you're acidic. You can tell you're depleted by, you know, if you're that person where every time you go to the doctor, they tell you like, you can't find your pulse, it's so weak. You probably shouldn't be drinking coffee. So I hope that helps. But yeah, if they told me coffee was bad for me, I'm not sure I'd know what to do, but that's a great, great question. I think there was one more. Question, my doctor doesn't seem to listen, and we'll go to commercial right after this. My doctor doesn't seem to listen to me. I share how much I've tried to get more exercise, eating better, but he just looks at his computer screen, then tells me that my numbers don't look good, that I should consider another brand of medicine. How do I get him to listen to my conversation? Okay. Well, that's a tough one to answer. You know, some people don't have great bedside manner. Some people don't want to think outside the box. And some people aren't trained to, right? I wasn't trained to think outside the box. I was trained that patients don't do what you tell them to do. When you tell them to exercise and diet, they don't listen. And so just give them a prescription, right? So you don't get sued. You know, that's kind of what we learn in medical training, right? And so that's what we do. And if you don't have the propensity to think outside the box, you stay in the box, right? So it's not so much that you have to try and get someone to listen to you. If they're not listening to you, they're probably not going to listen to you. So it's possible you just may need to interview another physician, or go see an integrative medical doctor, Or what you can do is go see a doctor of Oriental medicine, right? Because what I tell my clients is you can't stop your medication, but we can render your medication obsolete and unnecessary. So I work with my patients to not need the medication anymore so that when they go back to their doctor, their numbers look good, right? Your doctor can't argue with good numbers. So if you're having trouble, despite dieting and exercising, something else is going on. A mainstream medical doctor is typically not trained to help you with that part. That would be an integrative medical doctor or a doctor of Oriental medicine. And so we work with clients to get their numbers to look good, to get their blood pressure to drop, to get their blood sugar to come down, so that when they go to their mainstream medical doctor, their numbers look good and their doctor has no choice but to keep backpedaling on the doses to the point where they may not need the dose anymore, right? So I don't know that you're going to get a mainstream doctor to listen to you so much as you need another doctor or another maybe kind of doctor. And then you work from both ends, right? So I hope that answered your question. Time for another commercial break. You're listening to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe. We're live on Dream Vision 7 Radio, and we will be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Sorry, I was muted. We're back. Couple, thank you. YouTube.
Sorry, say again, Rachel.
There's a couple of thank yous on YouTube for your advice today. So
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. It's great. I love these questions. They're wonderful, thoughtful, and I thank you. I'm very blessed to be able to share this information. The last thing I wanted to talk about in terms of why people resist, one thing I hear about a lot is it's too expensive, right? You know, when we go to the grocery store, and Rachel and I were talking about, you know, inflation and how the good food costs more. You know, I've been seeing the good food cost more for like a decade at least. So suddenly it's inflation. I don't know where the definition, you know, comes from. But what I tell people is when the stuff at the grocery store goes up, the cost of your diseases also go up and by a lot more. You know, so the $7, you know, strawberries, you're going to pay, you know, way more if you get sick. There was a study that came out just recently about insurance. So we used to think insurance is insurance, right? that you won't suffer an economic calamity if you get sick. And studies are showing that that's simply not the case. Even with insurance, if you are hospitalized, if you're over the age of 50 and you get hospitalized for any reason, your income will drop 20%. What was shocking was not that the income dropped 20%. Of course, we could all reason, well, I'm in the hospital, I can't make any money, right? But what they found that was shocking is the income stayed 20% less for years, even after that patient recovered. So the study went out, I think, 6 years, and then they stopped the study. But for that entire 6 years, what they found is when someone is hospitalized, their income drops 20% and it just stays that way for years. And so being sick is way more expensive than being healthy. The other study that's telling is even with insurance, now this is with insurance, for every single disease that someone has, they will spend somewhere between $7,000 to $11,000 every single year with insurance. Why? Deductibles, co-pays, you know, et cetera. And so this idea that it's too expensive for me to do the work of eating healthy, paying for a gym membership, you know, paying for a consultation with a nutritionist or having acupuncture, whatever the case may be, doesn't fly in the face of what the studies are showing. It's much more cost effective to spend the $7 on the organic strawberries than to eat the toxic ones and then end up in the hospital. And that goes for any food. It goes for any treatment. It goes for anything that you do that is for your health and wellness. You can't outspend disease, but you can outspend, you know, health. Not to mention the non-economic cost of being sick, right? The cost of not being able to keep up with your kids, the cost of not being able to enjoy yourself when you travel. Like I've had patients tell me, you know, they travel with their family because they feel obligated, but they can barely keep up. They don't enjoy it. It's not fun. You know, and it's not until they feel better that they can enjoy the trips. You know, my older clients, you know, they can't play with their grandkids. They can't babysit their grandkids. They can't keep up with their spouses, right? They don't enjoy the time with their partners because they're too tired or this hurts, that hurts, I don't feel well. You know, those are tolls that are not financial, you know, that's an abstract cost. And you can't put a price tag on that, right? You can't put a price tag on, you know, hanging out with your kids. You can't put a price tag on being present with your partner. You can't put a price tag on being able to travel and enjoy that time. And so it's just always more cost effective to spend the money on being healthy. And it took me a while for that mindset to sink in for even myself, right? It's a process. But as you read more and more studies about the cost of disease, right? We lost as an economy, the United States of America, $2 trillion last year from people missing work. And not even from people missing work, I should rephrase that. People missing work is less costly than people actually showing up to work sick. So we lost more money in what's called presenteeism. In other words, I'm sick, I don't feel good, but I gotta go to work, so I show up. So we actually lose more money when people show up to work when they shouldn't be there than if they just stay home. So it was a total between people not going to work at all because they're sick and people showing up to work despite being sick. We lost $2 trillion last year. Used to be $350 billion. So that's skyrocketed over the last couple of years, right? That's a lot of money to lose, right? And we have enough studies now to show that if we were to do just some basic things to teach people how to stay healthier, to guide them in staying healthier, we would pump trillions of dollars back into the economy, not just because fewer people would be out sick and we would increase productivity for those that showed up, but, you know, because people would be more productive, people would be more entrepreneurial, people would be able to be more creative and to do more things as opposed to just the bare minimum. Right. I've had clients open up new businesses just from the clarity. Right. They were like, you know, I've been trying to figure this out for years, but I couldn't figure it out until I felt better. You know, and now all of a sudden it's clear what I want to do and how to do it. So our collective creativity is being stifled by not feeling well or being outright sick. And you can't put a price tag on that, right? Our entrepreneurial spirit, our creativity, you can't put a price tag on that because you don't know what you missed out on, right? And that's the other reason people don't stay on the bandwagon. It's very boring to be healthy in terms of you don't know the heart attack you didn't have yesterday because you're healthier now. You don't know the cancer diagnosis that you avoided because you're healthier now. You don't know the injury you didn't suffer because you're healthier now. We don't know the diseases we didn't get, right? Because we're healthier. So the drama is taken out, and there's a psychological addiction to drama that's very well documented in studies. And so when that drama just goes away, people actually feel uncomfortable. And so losing that addiction, right, letting that go can be challenging for people. And so that's where the mind and the spirit come in to let the addiction to the drama go. Like, you know, there are people who don't know who they would be without the identification of being sick. Because they've been sick for so long, they don't know who else they are, right? We've all heard that, you know, with people who've been in jail for many, many years, and suddenly they're released, and they don't know what to do. They don't feel comfortable. They don't have support.
We're out of time, doctor.
Oh, sure.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So we're going to have to stop it here. We'll continue with the next podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Milena Riobe. Thank you so much for being here with me on Awakened Wellness, and many blessings until the next time. Thank you.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.